Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, that is our cry. You've rescued us. You've loved us. You've changed us. You've blessed us. You have so much more for us. And we are so astonished and so grateful. I just pray, Father, for more of you. I pray for more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous to welcome you, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming, and thank you, Ollie and the band, for leading the worship. We shall be back to you soon. It's, as I often think, it's marvelous to have a doctor leading us in worship, because if anyone gets overexcited, you can move in with your stethoscope, which is always rather encouraging. Next week, we're worshipping as normal on a Wednesday, and the week after that, the 16th of December, we have our annual carol service here from 1 to 1:30, followed by mulled wine and mince pies. There are marvellous, cards, invitation cards, take along, give to people, colleagues who you think might want to come to a carol service. I'm always absolutely astonished by the sheer number of people who do come to this service, most of whom never come to church for the whole of the rest of the year, but have come often as part of their team. So do take these away and do feel, pray for the boldness to ask someone to come, and that would be really, really good. 1 to 1:30, followed by mulled wine and mince pies. We have the first of our corporate carol service for individual firms here this evening, so there won't be the opportunity for people to come for prayer ministry after work. We shall be in the middle of singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," at about the same time as some of us would normally be there available to pray for people. And that's the kind of character of December. Let me read to you, if I may, a few verses from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning of verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about their loaves, Jesus just fed the 5,000. Their hearts were hardened. Because I was so clear we needed to continue to worship, much to Ollie's increasing panic. I think I now have 75 seconds for the talk, because I know people have to dash back to work, astonishingly. But I just was struck by the two different states those disciples were in. Their hearts had got hardened on those 6 hours at least, battling against the elements on the Lake of Galilee. It was a 4-mile journey. Jesus had sent them ahead about 6:30 in the evening the previous day. They should have been there in time for 8:30, ready for a fish supper on the other side. At dawn, they were still struggling. No wonder their hearts were hardened. They were trying to do what Jesus had asked them, and everything seemed against them. They were increasingly frustrated. They must have been angry. They must have been thinking, "Jesus, where are you?" They were exhausted. They were a bit afraid because they were thinking, we're going nowhere. We're going absolutely nowhere. And this is what he wanted us to do. And we don't hear from him. We can't think what's gone wrong. We're just keeping doing this. And even the people who are really good and really experienced in boats can't get us to move any further. Their hearts became hardened. It's the same phrase used of Pharaoh when he saw the miracles that God was doing through Moses and was resisting God. That's what these people who were really close and utterly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ were beginning to feel. This is not what I've either expected or wanted, they were probably thinking. But of course, they're all feeling a bit spiritually competitive, as we so often do, and didn't say anything to anyone else. They suffered in furious silence. What they didn't know was Jesus had seen and understood and came to them. And when he came, things changed, and they were amazed. And that's the word used elsewhere in the New Testament to describe the reaction of the shepherds on the hillside, where not only did they have a choir of angels, but they got the good news that the Messiah, the Savior that the Jewish people had prayed for generations, had at last come among them. It is really easy to feel, God, you put me here. I'm doing my best. I'm not giving up. I'm feeling slightly frustrated. To begin to distance from Jesus. And then he comes. And before you go today, wherever you are, and none of you looks as though you have hard hearts, as that sense of post-worship glow about you. Just say, before I go, Lord Jesus, I want to be absolutely and freshly clear that you've come to me, that you've changed things. And I'm utterly amazed by you being there.